Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1, and I've got about 10 minutes to give you the word. John chapter 1, and here's what the scripture says. The scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was the beginning, in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of that light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He came to the world was made by Him, the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, which believe on His name. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can we get that scripture up? The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Somebody say, full of grace.
Full of grace.
Somebody say, full of truth. Jesus was full of grace, and He was full of truth. I know a lot of people that are full of grace, but they're not full of truth. Then I know some people that are full of truth, but they're not full of grace. You see, there are some churches that are full of love, but they don't speak the truth too much. Then there are some churches that are full of truth, but they don't walk in love too much. And yet, when you saw Jesus, you saw the perfect balance of love and truth. He walked in truth and He walked in love. And today, as we look into the Word, the Bible tells us this, that He was full of grace and truth. Somebody say truth.
Truth.
Somebody say truth.
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 Truth. Truth. Truth. Truth. Truth. Truth. Jesus used that word a lot. And in fact, if we'll read the book of John, just in the next couple of chapters, He uses that verse several times. He used it in the Bible. John used it in chapter 1. He said He was full of grace and truth. Later on, Jesus would use it in John chapter 4. And He would say, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 8, He would say, they shall know the truth. So, come on, say truth. They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. In John chapter 14, He would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's an interesting word, the word truth, because the word truth isn't a biblical word. It's not a church word. Back in those days, it was a secular word. It wasn't used by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It wasn't used by the people who were in the Sanhedrin. It wasn't used by the religious community. It was a secular term, and it was used by the people on the streets. And in fact, it was a theatrical term. Because back in those days, that word truth, which is the word aletheia, was actually started in the theater. Because back in those days, in the Greek theater, it wasn't like the theaters today that we have. It didn't have all kinds of props and all kinds of different scenes and all kinds of actors. Back in those days, there was only one actor. And he would come out onto the stage, and as he came out onto the stage, what he would do is there would be masks that would be set all around the perimeter of the stage. The actor would come out, he would bow his knee, he would put on a mask, the curtains would be opened. As the curtains were opened, he would begin the monologue of that first character. Once that character's part was done, he would take the mask, he would put it down, without lifting his head up, he would take another mask, put it on, and he would recite the lines of the second character. When the second character's time was done, he would come and take the mask off and put his head down without lifting up his mask or his head. He would put on another mask, and he would act out that character's part. And so throughout the night, he would be putting on these masks, taking off these masks, acting out these different characters. Then at the end of the play, he would come and he would kneel down, bow his head, take the mask, and he would lift the mask off of his face. The act of him lifting the mask off of his face was the Greek word aletheia. See, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He was the true light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. You see, with Jesus, what you saw was what you got. And that's one of the things I appreciated so much about the marriage event. We got together and people did this. People just got real. When Jesus walked the streets of Galilee, we know he loved everybody, right? I mean, he loved the sinners, he loved the winos, he loved the, I mean, even women that were caught in adultery in the very act. He didn't condemn her. He said, go and sin no more. I mean, all of the people that he hung out with, these were people that had problems, that struggled, that had issues. Someone say issues. And he could hang out with those people, but whenever Jesus got around a certain group of people, there was a certain group that he got around and he just kind of got sick to his stomach. How many of you know who I'm talking about? They in the Bible, they call them the scabs and the parasites. I mean, the scribes and the Pharisees. But there were these guys who were religious, these guys who came to church, these guys who tithed, these guys who believed right, these guys who could recite the Bible. These guys were people that looked like you and me. I hate to tell you that. But Jesus got around these people and he got sick to his stomach because he was trying to reach them. He was trying to love them. He was trying to reveal who he was to them. And they couldn't see beyond their religiosity. And they couldn't take the mask off and admit that, hey, look, I might believe the Bible, but I've got issues. I might love God, but I've got problems. I might pray to the Lord, but I struggle with some stuff. And because they couldn't take the mask off and they couldn't open themselves up and be real, Jesus couldn't help them. And he cried later on and he looked at Jerusalem and he said, oh, Jerusalem, I wish I could have just taken you like a hen gathers her chicks, but I couldn't do it because you had nothing to do with me. And I look at that and I think to myself, you know what? We're talking about discipleship, right? We're wanting to be disciples. We don't want to be Pharisees. We don't want to be part of that group that made Jesus sick. No, I want to be part of that group that I'm able to take the mask off. I might be able to say, God, here I am. You know what the biggest problems that the world has with the church? I can tell you this because we did a survey. We did a survey in my city. 50 churches got together, knocked on some doors outside the church, and we said, what bothers you about the church? And the number one response we got was this. When we go into the church, we feel that the church puts on a mask. That we go into the church. Now, not this church, I don't think. Not my church. Because my church, man, we got a bunch of real people. Hello? No plastic Christians in my church. In fact, I told them, listen, this isn't you because I've looked at your Facebook. And you folks get way too real. In fact, some of you need to stop being so real. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, that's a whole different message. And so we said, you know what? We need to address this. Because that word hypocrite was the Greek word hypokritos. That Greek word hypokritos was another actor's word, and it literally, actually, it meant an actor. Hypokritos was an actor, one who was pretending to be or acting as somebody else, right? Let me put something on the screen. How many of you know who this is? Her name is Katniss Everdeen. We have that? How many have seen this? Oh, yeah. How many of you love Katniss Everdeen? How can you not love Katniss, right? I mean, here she is, the Hunger Games. She's a girl. She beats everybody. And she can shoot an arrow like nobody's business. You know she's got Indian blood in her. Right? And she got to be a native, this girl. Look how beautiful she is. Those high cheekbones. But you know what? That really, she's not, this isn't Katniss. This is really a girl by the name of Jennifer Lawrence, who looks like this. Can we get her picture up? Do we have Jennifer's picture? No. That's not it. Pretty close. Oh, we don't have that? Oh, I'm sorry. But that's Jennifer Lawrence. That's not Katniss Everdeen. Well, let's go to the next guy. Who's the next guy we saw? This is a guy that we know as Indiana Jones, right? Hello? How many remember Indiana? Do we have that other picture of him in the other? We don't have that? Okay. I had another picture of him in which he was Han Solo. Han Solo. How many of you know who Han Solo is? Han Solo. What does Han Solo do? He flies through the galaxy on the Millennial Falcon. Right? Listen. This guy isn't Han Solo. He's not. This guy doesn't. He can't even fly his own Cessna. I mean, he wrecked it in L.A. How many of you? So what are you saying? I'm saying these guys that we look at on television, they're actors. They're not really who we think they are. These guys have problems. And this is the kind of thing that the world looks at the church and says, you know what? We're tired of going to the church, and we're tired of looking at people putting on the mask and pretending to be somebody or something that they're not. Amen. And I don't know about you, I want God to so come into my life and so do something in me to where I could just take the mask off and I could say, God, here I am, warts and all, because that's how God accepts us. He accepts us just as we are. He loves us too much to let us stay that way. And today we need to turn to your neighbor and tell him, take the mask off. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and tell him, take the mask off. Yeah, we need to just get real. Somebody say, get real. Get real. We had some people getting real here this weekend. We had some people saying, hey, look, you might look at us and think we don't have any problems, but we've got problems. We've got problems with sin. We've got problems with pornography. We've got problems with all kinds of problems. I preached this message in my church. There was a guy that came up at the end of the service. He was a guy that sang on our worship team. And he said, Pastor, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm changed. I quit drinking, I quit smoking, I quit doing all of these things. And he said, Pastor, the thing that continues to hang on is pornography. And I looked at him and I said, bro, join the crowd. The air just got sucked out of this room. I was sitting at my mom's house. What time am I done here? I got about another 2 minutes. No, just 11:15, something like that. Okay, I have 15 more minutes, so hang on. Listen quickly. I was at my mom's house some time ago, and my mom lives out in the country, so she can't get cable. She has satellite. And so I'm flipping through the channels, and it's late at night. And as I'm flipping through the channels, all of a sudden, this picture of this, I just, close your ears. This picture of this naked woman comes on. Not N-A-K-E-D, N-E-C-K-E-D. I'm just teasing. Somebody said that this past week, and it stuck with me. And I'm flipping through the channels, and all of a sudden this image comes on, and I told my guys, see, I pastored a church when I went to this church that I pastored some time ago. In fact, the one that Jamie was with us, the guys came to me and they said, Pastor, they said, what do you do when you see something you're not supposed to see? They said, the last pastor that was before you, he said that we had the 5-second rule. And I said, what are you talking about? They said, we could look for 5 seconds. But after that, it became sin. And I said, dudes, wait, hold on. Hold the phone. 5 second rule crucified right now. From now on, we're using the bounce method. What do you mean the bounce method? I'm saying you see something you're not supposed to see, you just bounce your eyes off. Right? Bounce your eyes off. I said, the problem is sometimes you go into a gym and you... I was walking on... I got on a plane the other day and I was... looked like I was convulsing. What are you saying? I was flipping through it, and I saw that, and I should have went. But I didn't. I did this. And all of a sudden, I caught myself. And I felt like 100 pounds of sin on a popsicle stick. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And man, I went out and I turned it off and I went out and I said, God, forgive me. So why are you sharing that? I'm saying that because we all have problems. There's a problem. There are all kinds of problems. And that's just one. Hello? And see, when I first got saved and I came to church, I came to church and this was back in the day when people used to wear ties. Now I remember walking into the church. When I walked into the church for the first time, my hair was about down to here. I had just finished a cigarette outside. And I had a six-pack stashed in the bushes. Hello? My friends let me off. We were out doing our thing. And man, the conviction of God was upon me. I got off, took my six pack, stashed it in the bushes, smoked a cigarette, went inside the church. And as I went inside the church, I looked around and it looked like the people in church, they were all spit shined. People had ties on and the little children were just, and I looked around and here's what I felt. I felt like a milk bucket under a bull. I felt out of place. Some of you going, huh? Milk bucket under a bull. That's out of place. Hello? Your people are slow, bro. Love you. I was just seeing if Rick would catch it. He didn't even catch it. He's saying, milk bucket bull. Little out of place there, right? I felt out of place because here are all these people that were perfect. Perfect dads, perfect moms, perfect children. I had a leather jacket on. I had a t-shirt. I had smokes on my breath. I had a six-pack stashed out in the weeds. And I looked around and I thought, my God, I don't belong here. I don't belong in this perfect place with all these perfect people. But you know what? I stuck around, Steve. I stuck around and I realized after a while that Mr. Perfect wasn't so perfect. And Mrs. Spitshine wasn't so spit-shined. And I realized, I found out that there wasn't a bunch of, that the church wasn't made up of a bunch of perfect people, but it was made up of a bunch of problem people. Amen. Because Jesus didn't die for the perfect, he came and he died for the problem people. The people with issues. You see, you may not think it, but there's a person sitting right in front of you that has a problem. There's a person right behind you that has a problem. In fact, there's a person sitting right next to you that they have a problem. You can look. Because it's probably your husband or your wife. And you know they have a problem. You see, what God did is God come to take the mask off. And there's a guy in the Bible, and I've got about 10 minutes left, so I'm gonna dive into this here. There's a guy in the Bible by the name of Bartimaeus. How many have ever heard of him? The guy that had a problem. His problem was pretty evident. But, you know, as we look throughout the Bible is full of people that had to take the mask off that they were going to be helped. You know, people like Jacob. The angel said, what's your name? He said, my name's Deceiver. People like Mary Magdalene who came and The Bible says she was possessed with demons when she came to Jesus. Wow, check that out. Would you let her into your church? She's a prostitute. Demon possessed. Those are the kind of people we want. Right? That's what we've been praying. That's what we've been praying at Life Churches. God, give us the people nobody wants so that you can, by your grace, turn them into the kind of people that everybody wants. Amen. And she was one of those kinds of people. Nicodemus, you talk about having to take off the mask. He came to Jesus one night. He said, Lord, man, I know that you're a man of God because nobody can do what you do. And Jesus looked at him. He looked right through the mask. He said, unless you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. Dude, you talk about wearing a religious mask. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the final time. He's going to be crucified. There's a huge crowd. He's walking out of the gates of Jericho, and he hears this voice of a guy crying out, saying, Jesus! Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me! He keeps walking. And he hears it again, Jesus! Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And here's the story in Mark chapter 10. It says, when they came to Jericho, a blind man named Bartimaeus, who was the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many people rebuked him and told him, hey, you got to be quiet, man. Just settle down, chill out. And rather than doing that, he shouted all the more. And Jesus stopped and he said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, get on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing aside the cloak, he jumped to his feet, came to Jesus, and Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? My question to you this morning is, what do you want God to do for you? God's asking you the question this morning, what do you want him to do for you? Why did you come to church this morning? You didn't come because Pastor Jamie's such a good speaker, which he is. But you didn't come because we had such great worship, which we did. But the real reason you came is because you have a need somewhere, some deep down inside, whether it's a need in your marriage, whether it's a need in your family and your children are beginning to veer from the teaching that you've given them, or whether it's in your heart, you feel you're growing cold. My question is, this morning Jesus is looking at you and he's saying, what do you want me to do for you? Now, I'm looking at Bartimaeus, and if I'm with Jesus, listen, if I'm Peter and I'm with Jesus and blind Bartimaeus is, and that was his name, right? Blind Bartimaeus, because he was blind. And so he was blind. He came up and he's, you know, he's doing, somebody's leading him, and he comes up and he's doing this. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And I'm looking at Bartimaeus, and I'm looking at Jesus, and I'm saying, Jesus, you can see what he needs. Why are you asking him what he wants and what he needs? Right? I mean, it's visible. I can see it, you can see it, we can all see it. Well, how come Jesus can't see it? Well, it's not that Jesus can't see it, but it's that Jesus wanted him to admit what he needed if Jesus was going to meet his need. See, God can't meet your need if you don't admit you have a need. If you don't admit we're struggling in our marriage, God can never meet your marital need. If you can't admit my finances are all messed up, then God can't meet that need. If you can't admit whatever it is that you need, then God can't do it. What did he do? He called out. He confessed, I need to be healed. You see, in order to be healed, you have to admit the need. Some things we don't want to admit. We don't want to admit, I don't know. We don't want to admit, I'm afraid. We don't want to admit, I struggle. I remember when Jamie was pregnant with our oldest. Understand, I grew up in an alcoholic home. I never knew my dad. My dad was the bartender. My mom frequented the bar. One day the bartender and the Indian girl got together and they had me. A month after I was born, my dad left And I didn't meet my dad until I was 21 years old. I didn't meet him because he called me up. I didn't meet him because he wanted to meet me. I met him because my wife and I were driving through a little place called Libby, Montana one day on our vacation. And I had always heard he lived in Libby, Montana. And so we pull into a gas station to pump gas, get some gas, and there is something that is called a telephone booth right next to the pump. And there is something, and you won't know what this is, but it was called a telephone book. And it was a big book with all kinds of pages in it. You know what those are? Okay. We hardly use them anymore. I'm just saying. And so I started looking, flipping these pages, and then I came across his name. I proceeded to put in a dime. It used to actually cost, you know what that is? A little. It used to cost us money, and we'd put it, and I did this. I'll explain it later. I called him up. His wife answered the phone. I proceeded to tell her who I was, and in 21 years, she had never mentioned my name. But she was gracious, and we met. She called him at work, and they came, and they met us at a restaurant. We had a cup of coffee, and I just got a chance to see what he looked like. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted to see what he looked like. I remember when Jamie got pregnant with our oldest, and she said, "I'm pregnant." And when she said that, I just went. And I thought to myself, "God, I can't have a child. Can you take it?" I was going to say, "Can you take it back?" But no. But I thought, "God, I can't have a child. I don't know how to be a dad. I've never had a dad. I'm going to be terrible at this." And I remember how afraid I was because I didn't know how to be a dad. See, and there are some of you here, you don't know how to be a husband. You don't know how to be a father. You don't know how to be a man because you didn't see that role portrayed for you. And it's hard for you to admit to your wife. It's hard for you to admit to anybody else. "I don't know how to do this thing called life." But you know what? That's what the family God's all about. If you don't have a dad, if you didn't have a dad, there are all kinds of dads in this place. And if you're a dad, there are all kinds of young men that are looking for a dad. And that's what the church is for. But if we continue to walk with these masks on and pretend, "Hey man, I've got everything together, it's all cool," we'll never get into relationship. And if we never get into relationship, we'll never know that we all have needs and there are all problems, all kinds of problems all around us. Amen. Are you with me today? You see, we don't want to admit, "I don't know, I'm afraid, I struggle with." But in order to find healing, three things you need to do: take a risk. Somebody said, "Take a risk." It's going to be scary. It's going to be scary to open up your stuff, right? We heard a guy this week. He said, "Man, I didn't want to open up my heart. I didn't want to tell everybody this is what I'm struggling with." But he said, "When I did, it was the most freeing thing that ever happened to me." And that's what happens. It'll be scary, man. It'll be like jumping out of a plane scary. Your heart will be pounding, and I don't know if I can share this, but take a risk. Admit your need and let Jesus heal you. You see, the church is just full of a bunch of used-to-be's. Bartimaeus, after this day with Jesus, was a used-to-be. He could say, "I used to be blind." Nicodemus could say, "I used to be way too religious." Mary could say, "I used to be a prostitute and possessed by demons." Another guy could say, "I used to be an outcast leper." One woman used to be known as an adulteress. Matthew used to be a tax collector. The other, Judas, used to be all about overthrowing the Roman government. And Peter, he used to be Simple Simon. But now he's known as the Rock. Because in the kingdom of God, everybody is a used to be. And some of you, maybe you're a still are. And you need God to change you into a used to be. The only way you're going to get changed from a I am to a used to be is by coming and taking that mask off and saying, "Dude, I got problems. We all got problems. That's why we need one another. And that's why God raised up Life Community in Columbia, is to change all those people who are to people who used to be. How many used to be's in this place? Let me see your hands. All you used to be's. Thank God that Jesus takes who we are and he turns us into used to be's. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord God, I don't even know if this has been helpful to this people or not. I hope it has. But Father God, I pray today that, Lord, you would turn us into people like Bartimaeus, who used to be. I used to be hurting. I used to be blind. I used to be broken. I used to be afraid. But I'm not anymore, because Jesus has set me free. And Lord, the same grace that you've set us free with, Lord, may we not hide those scars, but Father God, may we show those scars, because those scars only show that we used to be hurt, but now we've been healed. And Father God, I pray in Jesus' name for Pastor Jamie and Pastor Kelly. I pray, Father God, for this church, for the church leadership. And I pray, Lord God, for everyone in this room, that you would bless this church, pour out your spirit upon them. And as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, how many of you would say, Pastor, you know what? I've got something in my life. I'm not going to ask you to stand or come forward, but I'm just going to ask you to let me pray for you this morning. Is there anybody in this place that would say, you know what? As you've been talking, God's reminded me of something in my life that I just need him to set me free from. And I want to go from being an I am to I used to be. Is there anybody like that? Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. And you'd say, Pastor, I appreciate your message, but you know what? There's sin in my life, and I need to give my heart to Christ. I want to be born again. Maybe you're here, and maybe you're like Nicodemus, and you've been religious, you've gone to church, but you know that you're not saved. And if you died today, you don't know whether or not you'd make heaven your home. And if that's you today, do me a favor. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, lift up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my heart to Jesus this morning. God bless you. 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 Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, their hands all over this place. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Come on, lift up your hand. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to commit myself to the Lord. I want to commit myself to the Lord this morning. Anybody else? Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm just going to ask you to do one more thing. If you really mean it from your heart and you want to give your heart to Jesus, stand right where you're at. Just stand. If you lifted your hand and you want to give your heart to Christ, stand right where you're at. I want to pray with you right where you're at. I'm not going to ask you to come down. Nobody's looking around. It's between you and God. Come on. If you raised your hand and you want to give your heart to Christ, come on. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Quickly. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you guys that are standing. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for these that are standing here today. And church, I want you to pray with me right now. This is between them and God, but we're gonna pray with them right now. And we're just gonna ask God to be with them, pour out his spirit upon them, and ask God to change their hearts like he's changed ours. And so this morning, those of you that are standing, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Those of you that are sitting, I want you to pray with me as well. And I just want us to help them pray. Because when I got saved, I didn't know how to pray. And all I'm doing is helping you to pray right now. So if you're standing today, if you need to stand, stand quickly. I think there's one other person needs to stand. Quickly, quickly, just stand. Stand where you're at. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Church, let's pray this prayer together. It's a prayer of dedication and commitment to the Lord. Pray it out loud. Jesus, I know that I've sinned. Because your word says all have sinned. And Lord, I'm one of those all. And I need to be forgiven. And you said, if I would confess my sin, you would be faithful, you'd be just, and you would forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, right now, I give you all my sin. I give you all, every mistake, every rebellious thing, every sinful way. God, I give it to you. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Change me, I pray. I want to make heaven my home. And I want to serve you here on earth. I want to be the person you created me to be. God, I want to know you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for coming into my heart. Now take me by the hand. From this day forward, lead me, guide me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. I love you, Lord. I want to serve you, Lord, from this day forward, for the rest of my life. I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now let me pray for you. Father, thank you for each and every one that stood, for these, Lord God, that said, I want to know Jesus. And I pray, Father, Lord, your word says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. So today, Lord God, I pray that you would make them like Paul, who in Galatians 2:20 said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ that lives in me. Lord, I pray that as they are crucified with you today, that Jesus would live in them and through them. Give them new life by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. We just want to welcome you. I want to welcome you into the kingdom, man. Welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A couple things you need to do. Pastor Jamie, would you come? I've taken more time than I ought to. Somebody say Dobie. Come on, somebody say Dobie.
Dobie.
That's okay.
It's okay.
You're not going to be back here next week. So, I want to say thanks for allowing me to come. Those of you that stood, those of you that gave your hearts to Christ, just the beginning. Three things you need to do. Number one, come to church every time the doors are open. Get fellowship. Number two, read the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, see Pastor Jamie or Kelly, they'll get you one. They'll point you in the right direction. Number three, you need to learn how to pray. What do you mean pray? Just talk to God like I'm talking to you. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You talk to God, let him talk to you through his word. Talk to others through fellowship. And the last thing, share it with somebody. Because the Bible said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart, we shall be saved. So, God bless you, church. Love you. Thank God for your pastors. Amen. Come on. Lead us in worship.